What do we do when we encounter a problem? I suppose it depends on what the problem is, but there are so many ways we can react to problems when they arise. Maybe you find yourself clear-headed and task-oriented, and good for you. Maybe the anxiety of the moment creeps in and starts to overwhelm you, and in that you are not alone. Maybe anger, or maybe grief, or maybe frustration. All of these are normal reactions to the world, and I imagine we all react somewhat differently when we encounter something that is not as we want it to be. Today's gospel reading is a lesson in how we should react to the world around us. Chapter 13 in Matthew is home to some of the greatest hits of Jesus' parables. We get back-to-back-to-back parables in this chapter, which we are hearing throughout this summer. And today is the parable of the weeds, which is intertwined with the more famous parable of the mustard seed. Both serve as a reminder that Jesus' audience is largely agrarian. People who live off of the land. Jesus has a knack for speaking directly to his audience in a personal way. He tells stories in a way that allows his audience to relate to what he is saying. Wouldn't church be a lot simpler if we all did that? The story today presents is a pretty significant problem in the life of a farmer. Vile, pernicious weeds. As Jesus tells it in the parable, a farmer sowed good wheat seed in his field, only to have an enemy come and plant weeds among the good seed. And only after the wheat and weed had sprouted was the act discovered. So the question that faces the farmer in Jesus' parable is about what must now be done. Something in the farmer's world is not as it should be. How should he react to it? Depending on the character in the parable, we get different responses to this quandary. At first, the slaves of the farmer come and question the quality of the seed, effectively passing blame for the problem to somebody else. That's certainly a response we could take, but it doesn't resolve this problem, and it's not likely to resolve ours either. The farmer, knowing the quality of the seed he purchased, does pass the blame to another, but not without turning his focus towards the goal of a resolution. The slaves next suggest gathering the weeds immediately. The farmer, though, thinking coolly, says no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. One could imagine that the enemy who sowed these weeds wanted just such a reaction to happen. Gathering the weeds too early kills the whole crop. Rather, the farmer instructs the slaves to let the wheat grow. And when the harvest time comes, it will be much easier to distinguish between what is wheat and what is weed. The farmer shows a level-headed quality in this parable that I think is quite admirable. And at least for me, it is the antithesis of how I generally respond to problems. Too often, it's quite tempting to respond to the world through anxiety. When problems arise, we get a wave of emotions. And if we're not careful, our desire to quell that anxious feeling inside will lead us to act in ways that may not be the best course of action. The weed-sowing enemy in our parable is expecting us to react in that way. They want us to react in our anxiety, in our anger, in whatever emotion takes hold, and to lose track of our actual goal. To take on the anxiety of a problem is to let the problem make its own decisions. It might sound strange, but I used to think about that principle during diaper changes for my kids, which are thankfully now in the past. But there is something inherently anxiety-producing about a screaming child, especially one that is overtired and hungry. And in that moment where they are screaming and kicking and wailing, it's difficult to not take on the anxiety of the moment. But to let the screaming, wailing infant control whether or not they get the diaper change is also not a viable option. The only solution is to push forward and to work to accomplish what needs to get done in the first place. My grandfather, who worked as a city planner in Florida, had a plaque with a relatively well-known phrase on it, and it says, "When you're up to your waist in alligators, it's difficult to remind yourself that the initial objective was to drain the swamp." And it's the same principle here. When you can't tell the wheat from the weed, it's hard to remind yourself that your initial objective was to make bread. Here's the thing, though. This is a parable. This isn't actually a story about farmers and wheat. Knowing that Jesus is speaking through a parable is important. Otherwise, this could be construed as permission to have blind ambition, to keep pursuing our goals no matter what happens around us, no matter how the world reacts, no matter how many people tried to dissuade us. And while that's certainly tempting, it's not actually what Jesus is advocating for. And to explain that, I'm going to be unwise here and stray from Jesus' example of simplicity and begin to use some big fancy theological doctrines. And I see two of those in this parable. And they're called Imago Dei and Missio Dei, Latin phrases for image of God and mission of God. When the disciples gather around Jesus later in the day, after the crowds have all gone home, they ask Jesus to explain the parable of the weeds to them. And Jesus lays it out pretty simply. He, Jesus, is the sower of the seeds. He is the one with the goals and the objectives. He is the one whose perspective on the situation needs to be understood. This, in a nutshell, is the concept of Missio Dei, or mission of God. It is not our goals and understanding of the world that must be enacted, but rather God's mission. So to look at the parable again through that lens creates an entirely different sort of outlook for us as disciples. I'll ask my question again. What do we do when we encounter problems? Well, if this parable tells us anything, we look to resolution in the way that Jesus would look to resolution. We look to remind ourselves that Jesus, the sower of the seeds, has a goal to feed us in goodness. We turn away from eating the bread of anxiety and instead feast on the goodness that Jesus has put in front of us. It's to understand that all of our problems, all of our woes, all of the things that give us pause, they can be and will be brought to resolution through the love of God. That is what God is working on, and we, as a church, would be wise to join God in that work. To some extent, I feel like this boils down to the great theological statement of the 1990s. What would Jesus do? But it's an interesting question because it's a question of discernment. When we encounter something in the world that is not as it should be, how do we react in a way that helps us enact the love of God in the world? What steps do we take to make sure that we are not acting out of our own misunderstanding, acting out of our own anxiety and emotion, and instead acting in a way that furthers the broader mission of God? Missio Dei explains the identity of the sower in Jesus' parable, but what about the good seed and the weeds? Who are they? And that leads us to our second fancy theological concept, Imago Dei, or image of God. Jesus further explains in the parable that the seeds that the sower sows are the children of the kingdom. The weeds, which are sown by the enemy, are the children of the evil one. What the concept of Imago Dei tells us is that we are all made in the image of God. And to be made in the image of God is to partake in the goodness of God. The concept of Imago Dei tells us that every single one of us is a child of God, bearing the image of God's goodness in the fabric of our being. But Jesus clearly makes a distinction here between the good seed and the evil seed. Jesus does talk about evil as a real thing. So is Jesus saying that there are evil people and good people? Folks have, you know, certainly tried to read that passage in such a light, but that notion doesn't really hold up with what we understand about God's goodness. Much can be said about evil, but the important thing to note here is that what is evil is not of God. It is something separate from God. It is something that wants to separate us from God. If God looked out at creation and called it good, well, then there's a strong chance that you, as part of that creation, are good. If the image of God's goodness is woven into your being, I'm here to tell you that there is no evil that can destroy that image. There is no evil that can remove the goodness of God from within you or from anyone else. Jesus is telling you in this parable that you are the good seed, and not just you, but all of humanity, all of God's world, all that carries the image of God. This is the good seed. You are what will produce good food to feed God's people. And even better than that, Jesus is telling you that belief in him, belief in God, is belief that God is very much interested in ridding the world of the evil that does not come from God. God is very much interested in seeing goodness take root and seeing that the fruits of evil are banished forever. This isn't a passage about good people and bad people. It's a passage that reveals some of what God is really up to in the world. It's a passage where Jesus tells us that the completion of God's mission is an absolute certainty. But the goals of that mission are not violence, not destruction. They're not fire and brimstone, but rather the goals are the restoration of that goodness that God has instilled in creation and instilled in every single person in this world. The goals are the reconciliation of all of humanity to God and to each other. When God encounters a problem enacting this mission, and I imagine we have given God a lot of problems over the years, I have to imagine that God does not fret, nor does God take on the anxiety that we are so ready to produce. No, I imagine that God simply smiles and keeps focused on the task at hand. And for that, I give much thanks. May we be so wise. Amen.